Hey guys, welcome to Sunday Nights at Refuge, a community-focused Bible study that gathers weekly in our Common Ground Cafe. So grab a cup of coffee or tea and your Bible. By the way, you can connect with us on Instagram at Refuge Family. Now, our prayer is that Jesus would use this message to draw you closer to Him. So if you're ready, let's join tonight's study. As you guys know, typically, for those of you guys that have been here with us for a while, we systematically work through books of the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. Just that's kind of the DNA of our church. And so we just wrapped up the book of 1 Corinthians. And so just kind of as a little 8-week break, we embarked on a series called From Our Heart to Yours. And that's pretty much under the basis of, as a pastoral staff, what the Lord has been working in us, we kind of wanted to share with you guys, just giving you guys a little bit more insight from what the Lord's doing and then what we feel the Lord would like to say to us. And so this is kind of a topical, as you guys see in your guys' bulletin, says right there, from our heart to yours. And so the guy that's going to be sharing tonight, he helps out in our youth ministry. Adam Janko is going to be bringing the word, so why don't you guys help me welcome him here tonight.
How's everybody doing tonight? Good. I am sort of good, sort of really good. Please bear with me. I'm not used to chords and stuff, so if I start kind of like going like this or like this, so I apologize ahead of time. I'm used to the Justin Bieber mic, and that's kind of the way I usually roll. But yeah, so I am definitely a fan of the verse by verse, chapter by chapter. I like kind of being told what to do, what to teach on. It's like, hey, you're going to teach on this chapter. And then I get to be like, cool, Lord, what do you want to show me in this chapter? So whenever someone's like, yeah, you can teach whatever you want, I don't really like that as much personally. Some people are like, oh, that's great. Then you get to teach whatever you want. Yeah, but then it's like, okay, I've got one chapter on like a verse by verse, chapter by chapter to choose from. This is what I'm teaching on. And someone's like, yeah, you can teach on whatever you want. And it's like, I've got 66 books of material that I have to be like, huh, what do you want me to teach from? So it can be a lot, a little bit more difficult. But this theme of, from our heart, from my heart to you guys, I think it's really cool. I think it's cool to hear from the heart of people that go through the same things that everyone else does. And I guarantee you what we're going to be going through tonight. If you haven't gone through it, you will. Maybe some of you guys are going through it currently, or maybe you're past that season. And you can look back and be like, yeah, like I went through that and I totally value what the Lord did in and through that situation. So before we get started, let me ask you guys, have you ever had to do, or have you ever done something without preparing for it? Anybody, like, you just kind of, like, jumped in? Anyone want to share something really quick? Caleb, I saw your hand. No, you don't want to share? maybe you're in a situation and you're just like, I can wing it. I don't know. I did that with my SATs in high school. And, that wasn't, like, the best idea. I was like, oh, I'm a good student. I don't need to study. And then I went to Bible college instead of regular college. So, it was okay. I was like, it's the Lord's will for me to do this. But definitely preparation is key when you're about to do really anything, but definitely those meaningful situations, definitely need a lot of preparation. And with the preparation, I think a lot of times comes transformation. I don't know if you guys are on like Instagram and stuff like that, but they have those Transformation Tuesdays. Have you guys like seen those, or maybe you've been part of those where you like post a picture of yourself? The only ones I ever do are like, this is me as a cute little kid, and now I'm not so cute little kid anymore. And then you get like the funny ones. Like I saw one where they show like the really big, strong cow, and then Transformation Tuesday, it was burgers and stuff like that. So they have like a lot of those different ones. And then you see the ones that a lot of people like putting up with like the weight loss ones, and it's like, really serious, and those are really cool to see, people getting healthy and everything. And those are ones definitely that you look at and you see and you're like, man, that took a lot of hard work and a lot of hard, dedication to accomplish something like that. And, you know, with the transformation process is always, I think, a lot of work. And, you know, it's a lot of dedication and a lot of pain sometimes to go through those things. And tonight we're going to talk about really three experiences that I think we have in our life. And if we're faithful to the Lord, I believe He places these three things in our lives. And that is the calling, the desert experience, and then the departure. The calling, the desert experience, and the departure. And we're going to kind of take a quick look at each of those. And I think really focusing on the desert experience, because I think for a lot of us, that could be the most painful one to go through. But I think that if we're faithful and if we stay dedicated to the Lord and His calling, then I think it becomes very clear that sometimes the best things grow in the desert. And I think that's very apparent in our lives, and if you've gone through that. And we're going to kind of eyeball three different guys, Moses, David, and Paul, just really briefly, and kind of take a look at their lives, because these are three guys that I think went through all three of these instances. So the first place we're going to look at is in 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16. We are going to be jumping around, which I don't normally like either, but it kind of serves the purpose for what we're going to be going through tonight. So first is going to be 1 Samuel chapter 16. And while you guys are turning there, let's go ahead and pray. So Father God, I come before you and I thank you just again, Lord, for your goodness, your faithfulness, everything you are for us. You're so wonderful. And I thank you for the preparation you put in our lives. Go before us tonight and speak to us. And I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen. And so the first circumstance I think that we're going to look at is the calling. For those of you guys who are taking notes, the calling is a very key point in your life where if you are sensitive to the Lord, if you are making yourself just open to what He has to say, you will receive a calling. No matter what situation you're in, no matter what you've been through, each and every one of you guys have a calling. The Lord has called you to something, many things. And it doesn't even have to be, something spiritual. I mean, definitely he does. And I believe that He'll call you to maybe some kind of ministry. Some of you guys might feel, who aren't married, like I definitely feel called to be married. Some of you guys may have the calling to be celibate and spend, your life fully doing ministry. Whatever it is that you guys are going through, eventually there will be a calling from the Lord. Moses was called to be a deliverer, David a king, Paul a missionary, and they each had these specific calls on their lives. So the first one we're going to look at is in 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to look at David really quick, and we're going to start in verse 11. And it says, "And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Are all the young men here?' Then he said, 'There remains yet the youngest, and there he is, keeping the sheep.' And Samuel said to Jesse, 'Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here.' So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, 'Arise, anoint him, for this is the one.' Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah." So right at that moment with the anointing, that was David's calling, that he was called to be the king of Israel. Now, what's interesting, though, is did he become king of Israel right then? No. In fact, it was going to be quite a while before he actually became the king of Israel. But his calling came way before his departure into that role. In Acts chapter 9, we see Paul's conversion, and he's another one. You guys don't have to turn there just for the sake of time, but we see Paul on the way to Damascus. He's going there. You guys know the story. He's going to kill Christians, and then bright light. He talks to Jesus. Jesus calls him. He gets blind. He goes to the city, and then Jesus sends someone to come and pray for him, and he has this call in his life, and he tells the man who's praying for him that, Paul is going to do all these great things. You know, he's going to talk to kings, to leaders. You know, he's going to learn what it's like to suffer for my name. And he made that apparent to Paul, that this was your calling. Right now, I'm calling you. But it's funny that sometimes we think that Paul just instantly was like, yeah, missionary mode. But if you actually look, he didn't start quite yet either. Also Moses. Moses was someone who, from his birth, was really set apart and was put into the basket, was raised in the house of Pharaoh, and then he went and he saw the burden of his people. But it really wasn't until the burning bush that he received his calling, and he did something else that we're going to look at in a little bit that kind of got ahead of what the Lord had in store for him. And maybe you're here and you know your calling. Maybe you're like, yeah, like I totally know what the Lord wants to do with me. Like it's been clear. I've heard it in his word. He's spoken to me in prayer. It's been confirmed by, you know, various ways. And that's wonderful. But you also might be sitting here and wondering, like, but it's not really happening yet. Like, I know that I'm called to this. I know that this position in my life, I'm going to fulfill this. I know that I'm going to be on the mission field. I know that I'm going to be a husband or a wife. I know that I'm going to be, you know, these different things, but I don't see it happening. Or maybe you're on the other side where you're like, yeah, I don't really know what my calling is. And maybe you're kind of in a place of, I'm wondering, I want that calling. I want to know what God has in store for me, but it's just not happening. I'm not hearing anything from the Lord. To you, I would say be patient and wait and keep seeking the Lord. Keep praying. He is faithful and will give you a calling. That is undeniable. He will call you to something. Just sometimes we have to be ready to be open to receive that calling. And there could be things in your life that's blocking the call for the moment. And maybe there's some things that, you know, you need to work on, some things that you need to clear up first for God to be like, okay, now that that's settled, here's what I have for you. And I think it's important to self-evaluate ourselves sometimes, to be like, am I even ready for a calling from the Lord? Am I in a place where I could receive something like this? And sometimes he calls you to something and maybe you're not prepared yet. You know, he doesn't always just call you and it's like, okay, I want you to go and do this immediately. You know, none of these guys really had God's plan on their radar. I mean, David was a shepherd, Moses was a palace boy, Paul was, you know, hating the Christians and killing them. None of them had like what they were eventually going to do. None of them had it in mind. And yet God got a hold of them, some of them in random places in life where they didn't really have that kind of a drive. They didn't really know what it was that God was going to do, but they were just faithful in whatever it was that God was having them do. And they finally came to this place where God was able to be like, okay, now I'm going to give you your calling. Now I'm going to place that. And so that's the first thing, is the calling. The calling that the Lord gives us. The second experience I think that we have a lot of times is this desert experience. And you may have heard that, and it's definitely talked about a lot, when we're going through stuff, is just this desert experience. And it's called that because, is it fun to be in the desert? I mean, unless you're like off-roading and stuff, then sure. But if you're like walking around in the desert alone, for a long period of time, it's not so much fun. And oftentimes when we're in this desert experience, spiritually speaking, it's lonely and it's hot and, you know, we feel tried and beaten and sore. And we're kind of just sitting there like wondering like, okay, I have my calling, but why isn't this happening? I don't understand why what you call me to is not happening now. I'm ready now. And I think we're very like, eager for that sometimes, where it's like, okay, I'm ready. Let's do this now, Lord. And we think just because God has called us to something, it's now. And that's not always the case. You know, you look at David's life, and yeah, he was anointed as a young man to be king. But then he was on the run from Saul for like 10 years. That was 10 years of hiding in caves, hiding in forests. spending time in the enemy's camp, acting crazy, having men stab him in the back and then come around. And it was just, it was some of the hardest times in David's life. And you got to wonder, man, at some point he must have been like, I thought I was anointed king of Israel, not king of Sherwood Forest. And I don't really understand what is going on here, Lord. Turn to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. You know, it's funny. David even had a chance to kill Saul at one point. A couple times, actually. And it would have been so easy for him to be like, I should be king. I was anointed king. This guy is chasing me around. I'm just going to take it. God anointed me. I'm just going to do it. And it would have been so easy for him just to snuff Saul's life and take the kingdom for himself. But he didn't. I find that really interesting. And in Galatians chapter 1, verse 15, we get a little insight about Paul. And you don't really notice if you read just the book of Acts. It doesn't go into this as much. But we learn a little bit about what happened to Paul following his conversion. And in chapter 1, verse 15, it says, "But when it pleased God," this is Paul speaking, "who separated me from my mother's womb and called me through his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the Gentiles. I did not immediately confer with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. Now concerning the things which I write to you, indeed before God, I do not lie." And I think sometimes we think that Paul instantly after his conversion just started like slamming the synagogues and like busted out his missionary prowess. But that didn't happen. He spent at least 3 years in Arabia, just there, and in Damascus, and kind of coming around. And there's some debate about how long he spent in certain places, but the point is, the Paul that we see in the book of Acts, this like radical guy who was going to city and starting churches, didn't happen right away. In fact, it wasn't until who came? Who was his friend that came along? Barnabas. It wasn't until Barnabas came to him and was like, "Hey man, come and help me out," that he felt that call to actually go onto the missionary field. But it took some time. And then in Exodus chapter 2, we see Moses. And we see a little bit about him. And he was somebody who was Hebrew. It wasn't like Prince of Egypt where it was like, "What, I'm Hebrew?" Like, you know, I always like laugh because I'm like, they don't really look alike, but okay. Like, you know, I feel like at one point one of these movies would get it right that he would know the whole time, but whatever. Yeah, it's not my thing. But he knew who he was, and he saw his brothers, his sisters in bondage and slavery, and he decided to do something about it. And we know the story. He went and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and he killed him, and he hit him in the sand. But he was seen doing it, apparently, and then he runs, and he flees. And then he spends 40 years in Midian being a shepherd. 40 years doing that. And I can't help but wonder if he spent that long because he got ahead of God. And I think there's times in our lives where we feel this call. We know what we're meant to do. It's like, yes, Lord, like I know that I'm supposed to do this. I know I'm supposed to be this kind of person. I know I'm supposed to be with that person. And we try to like do things in our own way and finagle it and try to force it. And we end up making things way worse usually. And that's definitely been my experience. And I shared it, I think, on Sunday nights before, where there was such a long period of my life where I felt called to like full-time ministry and was just like, yes, like I know I'm supposed to be in ministry and I know this is what I'm supposed to do. And I was just like banging my head against the door and I was like, "Oh, it's locked. That's okay, Lord. I'll open it and just like try to like bust it down." And I spent so long doing that and made so many mistakes and really sinned along the way, trying to do things in my own flesh and trying to acquire the things that I knew God called me to, but I tried to do them myself. And I think a lot of times when we do that, we prolong what God wants to do with us. And I think there's a lot of things, I think a lot of things in my life could have came a lot quicker had I been patient and been more open to just allowing the Lord to work in his own time instead of trying to do things myself over and over and over again. And it really wasn't until I accepted that, you know what, maybe God doesn't even want me in full-time ministry, that I was like, oh, you know, at least right now in this season of my life, he doesn't. And it wasn't until I accepted that that I found myself just the happiest I've ever been in ministry. And then it's been the most fruitful time I've ever had because I just completely accepted what the Lord has for me. But it took a lot of painful experiences and a long time in the desert to make that happen. But why? Why is the desert experience necessary? Because I think it's something that a lot of us go through, if not all of us, in one way or another, go through something like this, some kind of desert experience where it just feels like you're waiting and you're waiting and you're just wondering, man, when is this going to happen? I feel like I've been waiting for so long. And that's what causes us to do things out of impulse and emotion and zeal. And it's like, yes, well, I'm going to do it my way, Lord. And you know, we get this whole experience where we just convolute God's plans completely. And I think there's three things, and there's probably definitely so many more, but there's three major ones that we're going to look at really quick. Three reasons why I think we go through the desert experience. Reason number one, or really I should say experience number one that I believe God needs to work on us in the desert experience is patience. Psalm 37:34 says, "Wait for the Lord and keep his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on when the wicked are cut off." Waiting is hard. Waiting is so stinking hard. I don't know why. It's just because we are so impatient. I mean, when I like see the new superhero movie and I find out the next one isn't coming out for like 3 years, I'm like, oh my gosh. And then I start praying, God, don't come back till then, and all this other stuff. And I'm just like, oh, that's so bad. I shouldn't be praying that. But we get antsy, and it's so hard to be patient. Patience is not something that most of us are born with. And if you are just a naturally patient person, kudos to you, because you're a rarity. It is so hard to be patient. Especially when we know what it is that we want and we know what it is that God is calling us to. And sometimes it's like within our grasp. It's like right there. All I have to do is reach out and take it. And it would be so easy to enter into whatever I believe that the Lord is calling me to. You know, maybe it is some kind of ministry position. Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a relationship. And it's just like, man, this is so close. I could taste it. And it's in those times where our patience is tested. It's in those times where it is so hard to wait. And waiting becomes a burden sometimes, and waiting becomes this thing that just seems like it's never, ever going to end. You know, and you look at David, who has waited for 10, 15 years to become king. You look at Paul, who had the zeal and waited, you know, for at least 3 years before he really got into the ministry. Look at Moses, who at first felt he had a calling, then spend the next 40 years waiting, only for God to actually call him, and then he's like, nah, I'm good. I learned my lesson last time. And I think this is something that stinks to hear. It's not easy to, like, accept that, you know, because I don't know what situation you're in. I don't know if you're in this season right now where you feel like you're waiting and you're wondering, and I wish I could be like, it'll be over tomorrow, but it probably won't. I don't know how long it'll be. I don't know if it'll be weeks, months, years. But I do know that in this time, God is working patience in you. And if you stay patient and if you stay waiting and let his will happen in his time, then something special is going to happen. But sometimes we like to move ahead of that. And that's why we go through the desert experience. That's the first reason, I think, is to improve patience. The second thing, the second experience that I believe is why we go through these desert experiences is trust. And trust, you know, trust is one of those things that, like, when we tell people we're going through something and then they say, like, trust God, you kind of just want to smack them in the face and be like, be quiet. You don't know what you're talking about. Like, don't give me the Christianese. Like, just trust God, man. You know, and sometimes I feel that way when people are like, yeah, yeah, just trust God. I'm just like, go away. Leave me alone. You know, but it's so real that trusting God. And it's way harder than we really think. And I think it's one of those things that we just think that we're good at naturally. It's like, I'm a Christian, I trust God. But when you really put through the ringer, when you really put through those times where it's hard to trust God, it's really hard to trust God. Again, especially when you know, or you think you know what you're called to, and it's not happening, it's easy to be like, well, Lord, you call me to this, so I'm just going to, like, venture into it on my own. Or you're just like, God, I'm trying to trust you. I'm trying to wait, but I don't get it. It's just not happening. I feel like I should be here by now. You know, I graduated X amount of years ago. I should have this perfect job. You know, I felt like I'm ready for a relationship, for marriage this long ago. Where is he? Where is she? Like, I'm ready now. And I'm, you know, I'm starting to not trust you so much, God, because I don't understand what is going on. I think fear and non-understanding causes us to doubt. And that trust, it starts to flee. You know, that faith that we should strive for, that trust that we desire and we want to have as Christians and as believers, because it is. You know, it's one of those things, like, for me, like, I know God is going to take care of everything. You know what I mean? But it's, like, way harder to actually, like, practice it out. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying, but it's like, yeah, I know God's got my best interests at hand. I know that he's faithful. I know that he's good. But this situation stinks. And I'm getting really tired of it, and it's really hard to actually keep trusting God. But I think the longer that we're in this situation, I think the longer that we're in the desert, and the longer that we're having to be patient, I think that patience really feeds into the trust. And if we're willing to continue to be patient, I think our trust increases as well, and our faith, because it's like, yeah, okay, Lord, I could be patient. I could wait on you. I can do this because I know that you are good, and I trust you that your plans are the best things for me, and so I'll be patient. But a lot of times, it's way harder to actually do. The third thing, so first patience, then trust. The third one could be possibly the most difficult, is obedience. I think obedience is the third key fundamental thing that is being improved and is being tested and tried during the desert period, the desert season, is obedience. Because the question comes, will you wait? Will you be patient? Will you trust? Or are you going to do whatever you want? Or are you going to do what you think is best, what I think is best? And sometimes obedience is way harder to consistently and continually practice because we get impatient, because we stop trusting in God. And so all of a sudden it's like, you know what? I'm just going to do what I want. I'm over this. This season of my life, I am over it. And I'm just going to, like, just do whatever I want. I've talked to people that, like, had that mentality eventually, and they're like, yeah, like, if God wants to stop me, he will. And I'm just like, you really read the Bible and see how he stops certain people. I don't know if you want that to happen to you, man. And, you know, it's tough to remain obedient. Deuteronomy 5:33 says, "Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess." The question is, will you obey God when things are tough, when your things aren't going your way, when you're in the middle of the desert and things just are backfiring left and right, when you're not getting what you thought you should be getting at this point in life, when you're looking at your life and it's like, I imagine my life in this position, and yet I'm here, and I could be in this position if I go after it, and that was kind of Moses' idea. I think I have a calling in my life to, you know, to be special and to maybe deliver these people, so I'm going to start doing it now. And then he went after it. He killed this Egyptian, and it was a mess because it wasn't in God's timing. And it's a classic example of this principle that, man, yeah, we might have this calling, but it's all about timing. And sometimes we get ahead of God and we decide, you know what? I'm going to do what I think God wants me to do, not what I know God wants me to do. And sometimes it's hard to like decipher that, because it's like, man, this would be so easy if I could just like take it and have it. Like, it must be God because it's so easy to have. And yet oftentimes the easy thing is not necessarily what God is calling us to. But sometimes we get impatient. Sometimes we get doubtful. Sometimes we get disobedient. And the desert experience is really all about sharpening those aspects of our lives so that God can prepare us and bring us to a place that we're ready for that calling. Last year, probably around, or it was in April, or actually coming to like a year and a month of it, I just like decided to dedicate a year of my life just completely to seeking the Lord and with like no distractions of like relationships or really anything, and just was like, okay, Lord, like I need to improve my life. There was just a lot of things, like I said, there was so many years where I just wasted my time, you know, fleshly pursuing full-time ministry and all these things, and had neglected a lot of other aspects and areas of my life, you know, my health and schooling and just things that should have been important and really, you know, things that looking towards my future I should have focused on and I had put aside because I thought I knew God's will and I knew what he had for me, and I was so like, yeah, like, you know, I'm not going to do anything else because I know God's will is this. And so I put so many other things on pause in my life. And I just felt like it was time to, you know what, let's take a pause from all those other things and just dedicate a year of my life without the distractions of relationships and without the distractions of anything that would cause me to lose my focus on the Lord and just pursue him completely and see and reflect and examine my heart. Like, Lord, what do you want to do in me? And this year was hard. It was a difficult year. I'm going to be honest. Like, there were parts of the year where it was like painful. Like, you just have like this feeling in your heart and in your gut where you're just like, man, like there's so many things that I know that I believe that the Lord is calling me to. And it'd be so easy just to give into it right now and to have it. I mean, it's been like 4 or 5 months. I said a year, but this is fine, right, Lord? Like, you know, I gave you 4 or 5 months of the year that I decided to give to you. You know, most people don't even do that. So, and you know, it would have been so easy to justify. Like the person who works out and then it's like, all right, 4x4. You know, it's just like, it could have been so easy to be a justifier to what to the things that I wanted. But the more I decided, you know what, no, I'm going to be patient. I'm going to wait. I'm going to see what God has and see his plan unfold. And if certain things are his will, great. That is awesome. But right now, this is what the Lord wants me to focus on. And what the Lord wants me to focus on is him. And there are so many things I learned about myself. And there are so many things I learned about just my walk with the Lord that never would have happened if I wouldn't have just been like, you know what, Lord? I'm going to spend this season of my life being patient, trusting in you, and being obedient. And I'm not like I was some like perfect person for like a year. Definitely not. But it was a really good season, and it was definitely a desert season where it was like, you know, these things are really difficult. It's really hard to continue in this, but Lord, you are faithful, and you are true, and I trust you, even in these hard times. And then that brings us to the departure. We have our calling. Then we might be going through this desert experience. And then finally, the departure. And what I mean by the departure is that launch pad where it's like the calling that you felt, now you're ready to go for. You know, Moses went on to free his people. David went on to be king. Paul went on to be one of the greatest missionaries of all time. But it wouldn't have happened, I don't believe, had they not had their desert experiences. They would not have been the people that they were during those times where they were finally embraced the calling of the Lord and took part in the calling of the Lord. They would not have been able to handle what they were in had they neglected the desert experience. Had they decided to, you know what, I'm going to do things my own way, Lord. I understand I have this calling. I get it. But you know what? You're just taking way too long. I see my future now. I'm going to do it. But because they endured, because they constantly waited and trusted that the Lord was going to provide them with the answer to this call, finally they were able to enter and depart into that calling. And for some of you guys, maybe that's where you're at. Maybe you're like, yeah, Adam, I have that calling. I felt like I've been in this desert experience, but you know what? The Lord has given me the green light, and I'm ready to go. Then go. Then do it. I think a lot of times we get in this mode of like fear. And it's like, I have the calling. I've been through the preparation. And then we kind of like freeze. Oh, you actually want me to do this now, Lord? And it can be really difficult to actually step out and have the courage to put yourself forward in the calling that God has for you. But you guys got to understand that if you've been patient, if you've been trusting, if you've been obedient, and now God is saying, okay, remember that thing I called you to? Remember that person I called you to? Remember that job I called you to? Do it. I'm giving you the okay. I'm calling you to do it now. And don't hesitate. Embrace it. Know that whatever it is, that God is going to bless it. There's no way he's calling you to something that if you venture out into it, it's going to be bad. That is just not our God. He doesn't work that way. He's not this guy who's like, watch this. It's going to be hilarious. Hey, go do that. And then we're just going to laugh. Me and the Trinity are going to laugh and laugh. And you know, that's not our God. Our God is not going to call you to something that he doesn't believe that you have the capacity to do because he's with you. Psalm 31:19 says, how abundant are the good things that you have stored up for those who fear you, that you bestow in the sight of all on those who take refuge in you. God's plans are so good that if we believe in them and step out in them and embrace them, it's going to blow our minds. But only if we've taken the time to prepare. You know, a few months ago, Pastor Jeff did a study, and he had this statement, and you might remember it, where he said, don't hate the wait. And that was kind of like his theme, don't hate the wait. And I love him, he's cheesy like that. But, you know, his rhymes. But it's true. Don't hate the wait. Maybe you're in this season where you're waiting, and you don't get why you're waiting, because you feel like you're prepared, you're ready. Keep being faithful to this season. Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, it's painful. It's difficult. And you might go through multiple of these because you may have multiple callings. And with each calling, you may go through a season where God needs to, okay, I have this new calling, but now I got to prepare you for it. Don't hate that season. Because if you try to jump to the departure without going through the desert, you're not going to be able to do fully what God wants you to do in the capacity that he wants you to do it. Sometimes the best things are grown in the desert. And I think that's true. The thing is will you be brave enough to step out into whatever it is God is calling you to? Will you have the faith to step out and embrace God's call? If you've taken the time to prepare, then you should. And I encourage you guys, please step out in what God has for you, because it's only going to be blessings. It's only going to be good. And if you're in that season where you're waiting, just wait. It's going to come. It's going to happen, but in God's timing and in his place. Don't hate the wait and embrace fully what God has for you guys. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. So Father God, we come before you and I thank you so much for how faithful you are. Lord, you call us to great and mighty things. It wasn't just for Moses. It wasn't just for David or for Paul. Us too. We are called to great things. We are called to be missionaries, pastors, husbands, wives, fathers, mothers, employees, bosses. God, we are called to something. And Lord, I pray for anyone here that first, if they haven't heard your call, God, make them vulnerable to your spirit. I pray that they would listen, that they would hear, God, what it is that you have for them. And I pray that you would make that call so apparent in their life. Lord, I pray for anyone here who is going through that desert season, who is going through a period of time where, man, it is uncomfortable and it is painful. It just really stinks, Lord, that we're in this situation. I hate it. Lord, strengthen those people. I pray that they would endure, that they would be encouraged, that they wouldn't hate the wait, that they would embrace the wait, knowing that you're preparing them for that call, knowing that whatever it is that you have for them at the next step, they need to go through what they're going through now to be able to fully dive into what you have for them next. And God, I pray for anyone who's coming out of that desert experience, who now you are giving the green light to do what you have called them to do, God, give them boldness. I pray that they wouldn't fear, they wouldn't doubt, but they would trust you and know that you have taken the time to prepare them, that they have taken the time to submit themselves to your calling and to your preparation, and now they are ready. So God, I pray for us tonight that we would self-evaluate a little bit, that we would see, Lord, where am I in life? What position am I in? Lord, and you would reveal that to us. Point us in the right direction. Guide us, direct us. Give us patience. Give us trust. Help us to be obedient and to follow you, because your ways are so much better than our own. We thank you and we praise you. Go before us tonight. And I ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.
Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. Unlock the door that holds me in. This is the day that life begins. Set free my heart, set free my soul. I don't wanna be a prisoner no more. That holds me in. This is the day that life